Maybe you need somebody to pray for you. And you feel like people don't pray for you. I need somebody to spend the whole night in prayer for me, and nobody will do it. That'll pray for you continually. He will. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. You see, Christ is all. And I'm not disannulling the human element this morning, but I'd just like us to get our eyes a little bit above human element. Because He really is a need meter. God wants to be first place. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. When it is hot, most of the problems are solved. When it is hot, answers come. When it is hot, needs are met. And God wants to meet the needs. If God wants to be your personal helper, no man will be able to help you. You know, there's something that I noticed about human nature. We'll much easier go to somebody than we will to go to God. It's so much easier to do that. And we just wish that they could meet our need. And we just wish they could give us the answer. But think with me for a moment. If God wants to be your need meter, He will not meet the need through a man. If the need, if the greatest need in your life is to press into God and find Him to be your sufficiency, He will not meet your need through a man. Or you'll go to the man the next time and the next time. When we need to learn to come to God, He is a need meter. He is able. He is sufficient to meet all of our needs. And I notice this also. When we look to men and things don't work out, we blame men. But when we look to God and things don't work out, we examine our own heart. Isn't that interesting how that works? Oh, that he didn't counsel me right. He didn't this right. He didn't that right. But when we look to God and we say, I'm going to seek God until God meets my need, and we seek God and He doesn't meet my need, we can't blame God. We all know that. We can't blame Him. So what do? Father, what's wrong with me? Why aren't You meeting my need? Where are You, Lord? Why aren't You real in my life? Why aren't You being a counselor to me? The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Isaiah 59 says. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Isaiah 58. Oh, what a beautiful description of a fruitful Christian life. You'll be like a watered garden. You'll be strong in the middle of the drought. You'll call unto God and God will say, here I am. Just like that you'll hear God's voice. And then God says, my arm is not shortened that I cannot save. But behold, your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. You see, when we go to men, and we look to men to meet our need, and then we don't get our need met, then we start blaming the men. But if we go to God, and we say, I'm going to stick myself before God until God meets my need, then there's nobody to blame. We can't blame God. We know His arm is not short. We know He's a mighty God. We know He's a powerful God. We know that He can save. We know that He can change people's lives. We see other people's lives being changed. We know He can part the Red Sea. We know He can do anything. Why isn't He meeting my need? We have nowhere to look but right here. And oh, what a sweet experience when we get to that place where we say, God, I'm not going to quit until You meet my need. And then God turns the searchlight, and God knows when we really mean that. He knows it. When we say, God, I am not going to let go until You meet my need. And God knows. Now He's serious. Now He's serious. And He'll turn the searchlight on our heart. And He'll meet our need. First, He'll meet our greatest need. Then He'll solve our problem. That's the way He is. Think about it. The excitement of all these problems being solved. You think about it for a moment. Wouldn't it be an exciting thing for you to be able to share a testimony with somebody else that you had turmoil in your relationship, maybe between a husband and a wife, and you got serious with God, and you began to seek the face of God, and the Prince of Peace came, and He was a peacemaker, and he made things right, and you got right with Him, and your wife got right with Him, and your husband got right with Him, and the peacemaker came and brought peace to your home. What kind of a testimony would you share? And what an exciting thing that God came and brought peace into my home. What an exciting thing if we need a counselor and we go to God, and God, in the sweetness and the quietness of an early morning hour, through His Word, reveals to us the very need that we have and says, here's your problem. May I say this? Mature Christians don't run to somebody else every time they have a problem. Am I right in saying that? Mature Christians do not run to someone else every time they have a problem. Now, they have problems, but they have learned where to go for their problems. And He is able, and He is sufficient to meet our needs. What an exciting thing when you look down through this list. Turmoil in relationship, problems with no answers, loneliness, periods of darkness, bondages, healings, financial problems, accusations of men, chaos in my life, a lack of wisdom, a life that is sinking and falling apart, and for God to be the sufficient one to meet every need. What an exciting thing. Well, do we believe it? He is able. I heard it said in Bible school, and I believe it, one of the purposes of a pastor is to work himself out of a job. Well, here's a good application to that. To train the people and pray for the people and guide the people into a vibrant relationship with their God that they don't need to come every time they have a problem. I have nothing to do. There'll always be someone else. But I like the philosophy there. I like that kind of a vision. I'm going to work myself out of a job. I'm going to pray and preach and counsel and guide until the people have learned to walk with their God, and they learn to come before Him when they need a counselor, and they learn to come to Him when they need wisdom, and they learn to come to Him when they need a deliverer, and they learn to come to Him when they need a peacemaker. Oh, what a blessed time. What a blessed time. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Now we're going to look at the Bible. We'll start in Acts, and we'll just move our way down through a few verses here. This one is really a blessing, because if you look at the context here in Acts chapter 20, Paul the Apostle is at the church at Ephesus, and he's ready to leave. And he pretty well knows in his heart he's not going to see their face again. That's a hard thing. He's not going to get to counsel them anymore. He's not going to solve their problems anymore. He's not going to be able to minister when there's trouble there anymore. He's not going to be able to do any of that. But look how he finishes his speech. Chapter 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Hallelujah! He knew where to put them. He commended them into God's hands. All you elders, I'm not going to be able to answer your problems anymore. I'm not going to have answers to your questions anymore. But I know somebody who will. I commend you to God, who is able. And He is able. He's able this morning. Turn to Romans 16. Many times Paul ended his letters with these very kind of words of encouragement. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Now to him that is of power. Now that word means is able. What Paul is saying here is, now to him that is able to establish you according to my gospel and according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and according to the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. God, to him that is of power, he is able. He's able to establish our lives. He's able to establish us in the faith. He's able to give us the answer to our needs and our problems. He's able. Paul believed it. And he exhorted almost every church with these kind of words. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able. There it is again. And that word able means of power. God is able. God is mighty. God is powerful. And able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Notice those words. Boy, if you get doubtful, I mean, he hits you five times in one verse. If you get doubtful whether God is able or not, he hits us five times in that verse. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Punch after punch after punch. To lift up our spirit and get us gazing heavenward and to see who can meet our need. He is the one who wants to meet our need. He is the one. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul prayed, for this cause, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. I think that's enough. According to the riches of his glory. I think that's enough for all of us in this room. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he ends it by saying this, now unto him that is able, here it is again, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Isn't it interesting how Paul writes here? He doesn't say to the church, go to your preacher, go to your counselor, go to your friend. He says, go to God. He's able. He's able to meet your need. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says these words, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will do that. I believe it this morning. He who which began a good work in me, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He'll just keep right on doing that good work. He'll finish the work in my life. He'll finish the work in all of our lives. And a verse we already quoted, but we'll read it in chapter 4. Verse 19 of Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There it is again. My God will supply all your needs I have a need. There's turmoil in my life. I have a need. I need a counselor. I have a need. I need a peacemaker. I have a need. There's chaos in my life. My God shall supply all your needs out of the abundance of His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He'll supply all your needs. He won't let anything let go. He is lacking nothing to take care of your needs, whatever it may be. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Ah, the Word of God. Is the Word of God precious to you this morning? Is it spirit and is it life? It is. It's alive. It's quick and it's powerful. It can energize us. It can quicken us. Let us believe it this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Sanctify every area of your life. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. He will do it. But will He do it if we're in unbelief? Will He give us that wisdom if we are like the wave of the sea? Will He do it then? Is God obligated to meet our need if we are living in unbelief? About our need, He is not obligated. But faithful is He that calleth you who will also do it. He will do it. I believe it this morning. Hebrews chapter 7. And verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore He is able. There it is again. He is able. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Chapter 4 of Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise the Lord. We quoted James chapter 1 verse 5, so I don't think we'll turn there about wisdom. But let's look yet at Jude verse 24 and 25. Jude 24:25. Paul's going to close this little epistle. With a word of encouragement. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He's able to do that. To the only wise God our Savior be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and ever. He is able. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now we've read a lot of promises here. These promises are real. They're for us to believe. And if we believe them, they'll do something for us. You believe that this morning? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And it says in another place there that He's provided for us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, Well, it sounds to me like the Bible says that Christ is the answer. It sounds to me like God is saying, I have only one answer for you. And I think that it's time that we get a glimpse of glory and get a glimpse of what God can do in our lives through His Word. These are the precious promises. We've read many of them here this morning. They're precious promises. They're full of life. They're full of energy. They're full of faith. They're full of hope. They're full of life and strength for our needs. They're precious promises. And by them, we partake of divine nature. And divine nature will change your life. And divine nature will meet your need. And divine nature will be your counselor. And divine nature will be your wisdom and your strength and your peace and whatever else you need. Divine nature is what we need. Oh, what a blessing. God wants to meet our needs. But I've noticed, and I think that everyone here would agree, during times of revival, when we start cleaning up and we draw near unto God and we get busy for God, it just seems like the machinery works different. And we have answers. All of a sudden we're a wise father. And we have answers for our family. We have answers for our needs. Our burdens aren't as many. Our problems are not there. I believe it's because Christ is the answer. And the closer we draw near unto Him, the more answers we have for our very needs. Couple of promises out of the Old Testament, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And now look at God right in the middle of this psalm. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Right there in the middle of that psalm, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. Christ, He has the answer. He has all the answers. Be still and know that I am God, He says in verse 10. And then over at Psalm 34. Verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. All of them? Come on! Surely not! All of them! Look at verse 6. No, we'll read verse 5. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. If you study that, it means they looked unto Him and their faces were enlightened and their faces glowed. And they were not ashamed. And look at the next verse. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Amen? All his troubles. Look at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Praise God! We are not left by ourselves. Maybe you didn't get an answer. Maybe you went to a counselor and you didn't get an answer. So what? I know where you can get an answer this morning. I know where you can get a balm for your hurting soul. I know where you can get it. But you can't get it in unbelief. You can't be in unbelief and get it. You cannot sit back in your unbelief and say, poor me. And you won't get out of your troubles that way. But if you be a poor man, and you cry unto your God, and you seek His faith, and believe His promises, He will deliver you out of all your troubles. I don't know. I believe it this morning. Jesus said these words, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Say, I'm hungering, but I'm not filled. Well, now, here we are again. We can't blame anybody for that. All we can do is blame God. God, I'm hungry, but I'm not filled. Your word doesn't work. No, that's not what we do. If we think we're hungering, but we haven't been filled yet, maybe we need to re-examine whether we're hungry. There is a difference between hunger and appetite. Amen? There is a difference between being thirsty and wanting a drink of water. Isn't there? I mean, when Jesus hung on the cross there, He said, I thirst. I believe He was thirsty. Well, after He had been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without any food, the Bible says He was hungry. I believe He was hungry. After the multitude had followed Jesus for 3 days and had nothing to eat, He looked upon them and had compassion on them because they were faint, because they hadn't eaten for 3 days. I believe they were hungry. And the Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Do we believe those words or not? And if we're not being filled, maybe we need to re-examine whether we're really hungry. You know, a hungry man will do some pretty different things. I remember the illustration, I think it was old Johann, told about how a time when he was in Russia and he was hungry and there was no food to eat and he found himself in a bread truck. He did a very foolish thing. He ate and ate and ate bread until he couldn't eat anymore, and it made him very sick. Why did he do that? Because somebody who's hungry, they do desperate things. Somebody who's hungry, they'll do some pretty crazy things. Somebody who's hungry will eat a rat. Would you eat a rat? People who are hungry have eaten their own flesh and blood. They were hungry. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, blessed are they that come to God with a desperate, with a desperation within them. I think of the verse in the New Testament. I think it was John the Baptist that was saying it, or maybe it was Jesus speaking about John the Baptist, but he said these words, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And I wonder this morning, I just know in my heart that there are many needs in the room, and I also know that God can meet the needs. But I also know that God just doesn't sprinkle by and drop the needs in your lap. He wants His people to seek Him. And in desperation, He'll meet your needs. Must we wait until God puts us in a prison cell somewhere? We know the stories. We know many of them. There in that prison cell in desperation, they fought their way through to God, and God met their need like nobody could ever meet it. Must we wait for the prison cell? Why can't we just take the needs that we have and say, God, here it is. I don't have an answer. I don't see how I'm going to get through this. I don't see how I'm going to make it. And get hungry before God. God will meet our needs. He'll meet them. And you know, and I know this is being realistic, There might be one in this room today that will get a hold of this message and come out on the other side. There might be one, but there could be 20 who will get a hold of it. You know something that often frustrates people, and I know Brother Mills would agree with this. People come for help, for counsel, and you sense, you know, what they need to break through to God. That's what they need. They don't need answers from me. They need to get a hold of God. So we'll send them away and say, go seek God. Ooh, that just frustrates them. Come on, I want answers. Give me answers. Go seek God. Oh, they don't like that one. But that's what they need. That's what they so often need. And many times what a counselor can do for you is just a patch job. Put a little mortar on the old sore and send you home again, and you'll be back in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But oh, if we can get you to tap into the counselor, you won't come back again. And we want you to come. If you have a hurting heart and you need to talk to somebody, we want you to come. But God wants you to come to Him. And God wants you to come to Him so He can meet your need. Then He'll be glorified. Oh, how He'll get the glory, won't He? Oh, how He'll get the glory. I sought the Lord. Come magnify the Lord with me. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Gather together with me and magnify the Lord. He delivered me from all my fears. Oh, He'll get the glory. He'll get plenty of glory that way. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Jesus said, I thirst, and He was thirsty. Jesus wasn't hungered, and He was hungry. Let's interpret those two words in light of biblical words. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? God wants to meet your need. He wants to meet it in your closet with you. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we just thank You and praise You for Your exceeding great and precious promises that You put in the Word of God. Lord, we believe them this morning. God, we just look to You. Lord, I pray that You will minister to the needs of Your people this morning, O God. I pray that You'll draw them with cords of love. I pray, O Father, that You'll help our unbelief in this room this morning. Some, dear God, they're saying, oh, I want to believe, but I just can't. Oh, Father, help their unbelief this morning. God, give them faith. Give them the gift of faith that they may rise up and know that God will take care of them. And Lord, I pray, take all of our problems. You know them, Father. Take our problems and use them to make men and women of God out of us. That's what we want, Lord, and that's what You want. I know it is. God, take our problems and make men and women of God out of us. Father, I just pray that You'll take Your Word and apply it. Seems like we didn't do very well, but oh God, I pray that You will make up the difference. God, I know this simple little truth that maybe everyone's heard it 5 times. I know it can change their lives. Father, I just commit all that into Your hands. I thank You, Lord, that I can be back home. I thank You, Lord, for the assembling of the saints. Thank You for the sweet songs of Zion, O God. Thank You for the opportunity to preach to my brothers and sisters again, Lord. Oh, I just praise You and thank You, Lord, that You're able to make all grace abound toward us. Father, we choose to believe that this morning before You. I just pray you continue to add your blessing to the service, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.